Hello, Internet friend. I'm David Revelle, and this is ValueSide for Monday, April 24th. For all of our articles and podcasts, visit ValueSide.com. Well, today, Apple and the unraveling global economy. On June 12, 1987, President Ronald Reagan delivered what was destined to become his most important speech. In it, Reagan called out the General Secretary of the Soviet Union, Mikhail Gorbachev, personally. "Mr. Gorbachev," he said, "tear down this wall." He was speaking, of course, of the Berlin Wall, a wall that had separated West Berlin from East as the Soviet Union, after World War II, had blockaded the people of East Germany from the rest of the world. Now, to the absolute astonishment of everyone, that's just what Mr. Gorbachev did. Just 2.5 years later, the Berlin Wall fell, and 2.5 years after that, on December 26, 1991, the Soviet Union was no more. It was one of history's most incredible transitions of power and authority. That it was done peacefully, without anyone firing a shot, is all the more astonishing. It was left to Reagan's successor, President George H.W. Bush, to announce that a new world order had been established. And indeed it had. The world would never be the same. Suddenly international trade boomed, the opportunities for cross-border business alliances emerged and would become the defining strategy for the multinational American firms of the 21st century. Leading that list was Apple Computer. Already a dominant firm in personal computer space, Apple would introduce new products, chiefly the iPhone, and new ways of manufacturing. By the end of the 20th century, a new way of doing business had emerged, representing an entirely new philosophy. For generations, American business moguls had sought to be fully integrated, meaning businesses that were not reliant on any outside suppliers. This business organization is called vertically integrated when a company controls all its supply chain. Today, two major oil companies in the U.S., ExxonMobil and Chevron, are two examples of vertical integration. These two companies control each step of processing oil. Today, they have wildcat crews exploring for new discoveries, then transporting by their own pipelines, trains, ships, and trucks, finally refined and then sold at their own local gas stations. Now, while the vertical integration model has a natural advantage during unsettled times like this, when supply lines are unreliable, it also requires management expertise over various unrelated businesses while incurring high fixed expenses to maintain all that plant and equipment. And because of those high expenses, American businesses began to utilize a different model. Outsourcing became the new watchword. Automakers were among the first groups to use this outsourcing model. Headlights from one vendor, tailpipes from another. Advertise your specifications, and you'd have several competing companies bidding to become your special order provider. It was how the supply chain became such an essential and integral part of the American industry. It took a couple of visionary people like Phil Knight at Nike and John Sculley and Steve Jobs over at Apple Computer to take things to the next level. Why rely just on American subcontractors? Why not go global? They reasoned they could produce their products in faraway China with modern transportation and quality controls. For Apple, it was a relatively easy decision. After all, they already had a vendor relationship with Foxconn, known then as Hon High Technology Group, and over the years, Foxconn had emerged as an increasingly important subcontractor for Apple. By the beginning of the 21st century, that relationship took a significant step higher. In 2000, Apple gave Foxconn the principal responsibility of building the new Apple iMac computer. Less than 5 years later, plans would begin to make Foxconn the chief contractor of the Apple iPhone, Apple's premier product. This was a crucial vote of confidence in Foxconn's ability to produce on time and to meet Apple's production standards. Today, Foxconn is China's largest private employer with 1.9 million workers, just slightly smaller than America's largest employer, Walmart. Foxconn is now a full business partner with Apple, no longer just a subcontractor. It is almost inconceivable that Foxconn and Apple could part. Yet, that is not out of the question today. Like the rest of us, Apple Computer is subject to the policies and dictates of various governments, and the current American government has apparently taken direct aim at China. Most of us, myself included, failed to recognize the true nature of Joe Biden's foreign policy. We looked at the president and see an amiable, avuncular, grandfatherly type, when in reality there is a highly contentious, hard-bitten politician. Someone who sees a world of us and them. In Biden's world, there will be only one winner, the U.S. of A. Just 6 months into his administration, President Biden issued the National Security Strategy paper. This was the defining document for America's role in the world. It is a common practice among presidents early in their term to produce such a statement. Most often, it's a relatively bland recitation of the hopes and goals of the country. Usually lots of friendly overtures towards increasing international trade and communication, and a general tone of peace on earth, goodwill toward all. Not Biden's. And this should have put us all on alert. In the president's national security statement, he singles out Russia and China by name, which in itself is unusual. Concerning China, the document reads, quote, "The People's Republic of China harbors the intention and increasingly the capacity to reshape the international order in favor of one that tilts the global playing field to its benefit." Then further on, "These competitors, Russia and China, mistakenly believe democracy is weaker than autocracy because they fail to understand that a nation's power springs from its people." Then later, "So the United States will continue to defend democracy around the world." National Security Strategy, October 12, 2022. So essentially, the president is saying to China and Russia that he does not recognize their government as legitimate, and that the United States, under his leadership, will be the policeman of the world in its defense of democracy. Now, it's doubtful that Beijing, our principal trading partner, received this statement well. Moreover, I doubt that neither did Foxconn nor Apple welcome these thoughts. The president then signed new export controls limiting high-end computer chip sales to China at nearly the same time he signed the National Security Strategy. These restrictions included specific limits on artificial intelligence and semiconductor technology. This was another clear sign that the president was proceeding with his "get tough with China" strategy. However, it is a policy involving both sides of the Pacific, China, and also the American semiconductor industry. Yet there is no indication that the president consulted with the Americans or allowed for any comment from the American side. Instead, he went directly for the headlines directed at Xi Jinping and the Chinese leaders. Finally, there are the bizarre instances where on three occasions, President Biden proclaimed that the United States would defend Taiwan militarily if attacked by China. Now, most consider this a contradiction to the long-standing One China policy, which has been established policy for years. These statements are just a sort of rhetorical trap a seasoned politician is expected to avoid. Yes, there is ambiguity in the One China policy, so the prudent thing to do is to avoid the issue if you can. And there was absolutely no reason that Biden should have commented when he did, other than his willingness to poke a finger in Beijing's eye. That he provocatively raised this issue indicates his willingness to be confrontational. This brinkmanship is putting the American relationship with China at risk. Today, there are reasonable people who believe that there is a genuine possibility of war between our two countries, something that was unthinkable just a few months ago. We pray things don't come to that. However, what is apparent is that President Biden is risking the substantial trade relationship we have with China. Now, last week, Janet Yellen, Secretary of Treasury, of all people, warned of the dangers of decoupling our economy from China. Yellen's comments were the first substantial olive branch to be waved by a member of the Biden administration towards China. And it had to be a welcome overture for China's largest employer, Foxconn, and America's most valuable company, Apple Computer. And that's ValueSide for Monday, April 24. For all of our articles and podcasts, visit ValueSide.com. I'm David Revell. ValueSide is independently written and researched. The views expressed are strictly my own.